The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by the Smitten Kitten, non-toxic quality sex toys and supplies. Visit smittenkittenonline.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. Today's show is being recorded in front of a live studio audience at Catalyst Con in Washington, D.C. Catalyst Con is an amazing event that brings together people from all different parts of the sexuality field. And the next one is Catalyst Con West in L.A., September 27th to the 29th. You can go to catalystcon.com to find out more. My guest is sex and BDSM educator, Felice Shays. And that, of course, is my fabulous studio audience. This is really exciting. It's the first time we've ever done any Sex Out Loud episodes in front of an audience, so I'm very excited. Let me tell you about my guest. Where respect, humor, straight talk, and sex collide, is where you'll find Felice Shays. Providing sexual and BDSM education and counseling for a dozen years in the U.S. and Canada to thousands of people, Felice has been featured in print and on TV, encouraging people to do breathtaking sexual feats. She recently returned to Brooklyn, New York, and she has presented at a plethora of conferences, sex toy stores, universities, and private functions, including Good for Her, Black Rose, Pacific Friction, Dark Odyssey, Babeland, LSM, Tess, Wicked Women, Shebop, Kinkfest, Sugar, Tribal Fire, Come As You Are, The Exiles, Desire, Thunder in the Mountains, and Bringing Age Out of the Closet. Felice is working on her new book on rough sex called Brutal Affection, The Joys of Rough Sex. And an excerpt of that book is in my anthology, The Ultimate Guide to Kink, BDSM, Roleplay, and the Erotic Edge. Due to her work as a certified American Sign Language interpreter for many years, Felice also teaches deaf people in ASL about sex, sensual technique and creativity, self-discovery, rough sex, and various aspects of BDSM. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Felice.
Thanks, Tristan.
Before we talk about some of your latest projects, how did you get into the world of sex?
I started having sex. I know, it's like what everyone would say. I think originally I had wandered around doing a lot of different things, and I had been experimenting with playing with different things. And I started dating someone who was living in Canada. And I wasn't sure if I was going to move to Canada and then be with that person or not. And then I was like, well, what am I going to do? Like, if I really want, and then I was like, what am I going to do in Toronto? If I live in Toronto, then it's like I'm an American citizen. I'm going to have to get paid. How am I going to work? I'm not going to be able to interpret. I know I could work at a sex toy store. It had never occurred to me before, but this person was making gear and all sorts of stuff. And then we broke up. good thing I didn't move to Canada. And I went into Toys and Babeland in New York, now called Babeland. And I said, hi, I think I want to work here. I mean, before that, I had bought like jelly rubber dildos because that's all I could afford. So I was, you know, it was basically that was my experience. And I had been playing some with SM a little before that and just in my room and also at the Michigan Women's Music Festival among the trees and dirt and fantasticness. And next thing I knew, I was working at Babeland, and then I started getting more and more education there. And I have to say my very first live, I don't know if you know this, my very first live teaching was a gig. Tristan called me in the car. Tristan and I have been friends for a long time. We weren't very close friends like we are now, but for a long time. And she called me in the car and she said, listen, I have this thing. There's this amazing people called Cake, right? Wasn't that Cake?
Mm-hmm, Cake. And, oh my God, that's so long ago.
It's so long ago. And they want someone to come and do G-Spot education. That's just a women thing coming together, and they want a live demonstration, teach them, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I have absolutely, what are you talking about? So fast forward, I said yes, because Tristan can pretty much convince anyone to do anything, which is really amazing, which is why I'm sitting here in this chair. And fast forward, I contacted a friend of mine, Jess Dopkin, who is a performer and amazing person also in Canada, and then in New York. And I said, Jess, will you fuck me in front of a group of people to make me squirt? And she said, oh my God, thank you, yes. And that's exactly what we practiced at her house. And when I mean practice, she was like, one finger or two, or three, okay. Do you want lube? When do you want me? Should we kiss? No, we're not. Okay, hi, you're my friend. I mean, this is what it happened. And we went to this event, and it was amazing. And thank God I had a drink first. And it was profound. I was wearing this little dress that I unzipped, and there I was standing in my underwear, and everyone else had had a couple of drinks also. We were all nervous. This is a really long time. We were all nervous. And I said, I just want to tell you that I'm really self-conscious of my stretch marks right now. And there were all women in that room, and they all applauded. They were like, yeah, me too, and I'm not even naked. Your body's beautiful. And it was one of those like, oh, this is my work. It's not just about being fucked in front of people, which is also my work, you know, everything being relative. But it really is about allowing ourselves to be who we are. And so Jess and I went to work. I squirted literally in about 7 seconds, which is
practice.
Practice. It is not my norm. Now it's like, are we there yet? But at that time, and women are like, oh my God, that's so unfair. What just happened? So we went back, and then we proceeded to do, Jess and I set up on the main bed. I can't believe I'm telling this whole story. Jess and I set up on the main bed in this loft where this party was, and we found the G-spot. I mean, I did other things than just get fucked, right? I mean, I showed anatomy posters and talked about all sorts of really relevant, important things. And then women, straight, predominantly straight women, lined up, pulled down their panties, their pants, their whatever, skirts up. And Jess and I found the G-spots of probably 40 to 50 people that night, lying on beds, one bed. It wasn't, we weren't fucking them. We were like, okay, I'm going to put on a glove. Okay, I'm going to wash my hands. Okay, I'm going to put on a glove. Okay, I'm going to get lube. Okay, I'm going to, okay, do you feel that? And then you'd be like, no, oh my God. And that radically changed my life. That radically changed. I am who I am now because of that and because of you.
I had no idea about this story at all. I remember Cake, and Cake was this group of women, predominantly straight, as you said, who were trying to put on these sex positive events for women who didn't even know about Babeland, really. It was like women who really didn't have access to the kind of sex positive world we had access to.
Or even wanted to have access to it.
Right. And so they did a bunch of different events. Some were small, some really big at clubs. And I knew that you were smart. I knew that you taught stuff about sex. I knew you squirted like crazy. I don't know how I knew that. So, but I didn't know. I didn't know that you like practiced and that you were nervous and that you were. I didn't know anything.
Well, it was
that.
My first time. I had only taught with my clothes on, and I had only taught in stores.
Right.
I had never actually gone to another place to do a workshop where I was me and not representing the store.
Right.
So it was my first teaching moment. Now, I had worked at Planned Parenthood. I had helped develop a curriculum with a deaf woman. We'd set up taking their curriculum and making it appropriate and fantastic for deaf kids in high schools. So I had done that before, and I'd had other experiences, and I've been a performer for years. So all of that informed who I was, but this was radically this. And Jess, too, we still were very dear friends. She still talks about this as being, we walked out of that Chinatown loft and we're like, let's just go get some eggs. You want to maybe fried? Yeah, eggs. We were absolutely, like you just said, coming from this workshop that you just did felt like a rock concert. This was one of those emotional, spiritual, physical, sky opening, life changing times.
But what's so remarkable about that story is that I know that that was probably life-changing for the women there also. This is the interesting thing about the work that we do as sexuality educators is it is not a one-way street.
Mm-mm.
At all.
Mm-mm.
And in fact, so they're still talking and probably telling this story about this woman, Felice Shays, who came and found their G-spot for the first time, right? I mean, it had to have changed and shifted things within them, but it also shifted something for you.
I feel like it's so corny and it's really true. The work we get to do is such a gift. Like every time I teach a class and I bend someone over, because I do a lot of live demos, but people usually keep their clothing on depending on the venue. And I'm just like, I love my job. Like, how fucking lucky are we that we're like, okay, I'm going to talk to you about bondage now. I'm going to talk to you about like how you can put this thing around your cock and it's going to make you really happy. Are you kidding? This is my work? You're going to pay me for? Okay. Yes, thank you.
That is your work.
Yeah, that is my work.
Now, you mentioned developing a curriculum mm-hmm. with a deaf woman. Mm-hmm. And another passion that many people may not know about is that you are a crazy, almost famous, borderline famous ASL interpreter. I recently spoke at Williams College. And at the end of the event, a professor came up to me who had attended my talk, and she said, thanks so much for coming. She introduced me to a friend of hers, and that friend said, oh gosh, we never get anything like this at Williams. I'm very excited that this came here. But actually, I think we know someone in common. And I was like, you know,
I know who you
spoke to. Who are
you?
And she said, I know Felice Shays. I am also an interpreter.
Uh-huh.
I thought, oh my God, when worlds collide.
But yeah.
What first got you into doing ASL interpreting?
I was a sophomore in college, and I had gone to a music festival in upstate New York, and I was doing carpentry. And two of my three bosses were deaf. I had not met a deaf person before. And so they were a father and son team. And so I started learning some basic signs, like really important signs, nail, hammer, whiskey, dog, fuck you. You know, the things you really need to learn when you're doing carpentry. And then I saw the daughter, who was hearing, interpret music. And like a lot of people of that time, I was like, oh my God, that's what I want to do. I want to interpret music. Fast forward a lot of time after the son actually asked me out on a date, and I was like, wow, no thanks. But he was amazing. I went to school and I studied sign language to find out that, like, at that time, interpreting music was actually fairly not condoned by deaf people. They were like, hearing imposition on deaf people. Now it's different. Somewhat, depending on who you're talking to. But that's how I got into it. And so I moved to Boston and I went to Northeastern University. I finished my undergrad degree there and I stayed there for a bunch of years. And the deaf community was mighty, powerful, political, smart, and cohesive. So it didn't matter if you were a beginning signing student or queer or in theater or doing anything else, you were allowed to be there. If you had some respect, if you showed up and made an effort, and I did, and I am not an almost famous interpreter. I'm a good interpreter. what I love about all my different worlds coming together is that my interpreting and how I deal with people affects and informs how I interact with people in my sex practice. How I perform also affects it. So I have three distinct and connected fields that absolutely are inseparable for me and only make me better in every single one of them. So I've learned a lot of patience about dealing with hearing people who want nothing to do with deaf people because they're an inconvenience and I'm a pain in the ass. Asking them to repeat things or standing in the way or being in the examination room for that appointment. Whatever the case is, I'm in the way generally. And often there's people who have gratitude too, but I have learned through the SM community about service. I've learned about how to take up space, how to get what you need, how to give, but also be a little bit off to the side. Now, I've learned a lot of other things too about how to take up space and how to demand what you need without being an asshole. You know, so I'm hugely grateful for my worlds.
And it's amazing how they all can intersect and collide in different places.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to take a break for a commercial.
Fantastic.
And hear from one of our great sponsors, including Astroglide. Astroglide lube makes sex better. You can get a free sample by going to astroglide.com. Stay with us. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
Looking to add something fun and different to your sexual experiences? Then try Astroglide X, premium silicone personal lubricant. Astroglide X contains a unique blend of high-quality silicones that provide a silky smooth experience unlike any other. Astroglide X is also waterproof and perfect for water play. Not only does Astroglide X last longer than all water-based products and is hypoallergenic and latex safe, it's even great for massage. For more information and a free sample, visit astroglide.com.
Hello, Sex Out Loud listeners. This is Jennifer from The Smitten Kitten. Did you know that you can get 20% off your entire purchase at smittenkittenonline.com? All you have to do to get your discount is use the coupon code TRISTAN. That's T-R-I-S-T-A-N. That means you can get 20% off all Enjoy surgical steel toys, 20% off all Vixen Creation silicone toys, including Tristan's signature butt plugs, and you can also get all of Tristan's DVDs, the entire Vivid Ed series she did, and the Chemistry series for 20% off. Too. Sex Out Loud listeners can get 20% off of everything at smittenkittenonline.com. Smitten Kitten specializes in high-quality sex toys and supplies. We're well-known for having an amazing selection of toys made of silicone and other body-safe materials. Shopping on our website is easy. You can chat online with a Smitten Kitten sex educator, or you can call us anytime at 888-751-0523. Everything is 20% off at smittenkittenonline.com when you use coupon code TRISTAN at the checkout.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We are talking today with BDSM and sex educator Felice Shays. Felice, you have a chapter in the book that I edited, The Ultimate Guide to Kink, and it's called Brutal Affection. It's all about rough sex. So I want to talk about that, but I think we should first start with a definition, your definition of rough sex.
I knew you were going to ask me this, and I love and hate this question at the same time. It's as personal as is any other kind of sex. So rough sex can include activities like slapping, like humiliation or objectification, like spanking, like can use implements, can use everything from knives to simply words. to amp things up and get things primal. I think that's a really big part of it, is that people really digging in very deep and not paying attention to mores and what society says we're supposed to look like. And it just basically says, fuck off, I'm going to do what I need to do and want to do in my sex. And it's about consent. That's the bottom line also. It's rough because sometimes it's really hard, and sometimes there's pain, and sometimes there's force, and there's always power play involved in it. Not power play, but power play involved in rough sex. And again, the bottom line is consent. Everyone wants to be there. And as soon as someone doesn't want to be there anymore, then it stops being rough sex and it starts being abuse. And that permission can be rescinded anytime.
Now, in the chapter, which is based, by the way, on your workshop, I mean, one of the reasons that I put this book together and the way that I selected the people to write the different chapters was I really wanted to go to the best BDSM educators and ask them to write a chapter based on a class that I had been to, and based on the class that is their signature class, something they're known for and something that they're super passionate about. And I would say that in terms of teaching about rough sex, if you ask people in the BDSM world, you know, who is at the top of their game, it's you. I mean, people love this class. You sell this class out whenever you teach it. And so the piece really reflects a lot of the stuff that you teach in the book. And of course, there's safety and there's all these things about if you're going to hit someone, you can hit them in some places and not in other places. So give me the 101 version first of just some of the basic safety things.
Sure.
When getting rough.
Great. You got to communicate. And communicate does not always have to be about talking. Is often about talking, but it's about looking inside and figuring out what it is you're interested in. And that's not always easy, and it's always morphing. So that's, I think there's a fault that I find often with sex education in a lot of workshops is figure out what you want and go get it. It's never that easy. That's partially true, but because it's constantly changing, because we're constantly changing, not only day to day, you know, people always say, oh, Tuesday, I got my period and I wasn't really interested in having my face slapped. No, no, bigger, broader than that. Where I am in the world, where I am in my development and how I feel in my life, in my relationships. So figuring out your own desire, what did I just get turned on to by watching that specific movie? Oh, I really liked when that guy pushed that other guy against that wall and they stared really hard at each other and one guy spit in the other guy's face. Well, I'm not saying that movie was consensual, but I can take that and I can extrapolate like a motherfucker. So, and then I can own it and make it mine or make it yours. So safety comes from figuring out what you want and then also trying to be able to communicate to someone else, which is a whole huge, wonderful, complicated, fantastic thing. And also, know your own strength. It doesn't matter what gender you are, you can, what might feel like, oh yeah, this, if I spank someone like this, it's going to be really light. I taught a workshop last Thursday and someone came up and said, no, slap my face. I've never had my face slapped. I've only slapped a face. Slap my face. And I said, fantastic. Come here. I showed people how to hold the head so the neck doesn't snap and we're having a great time. And I said, okay, now I'm going to pull my hand back and place it on your face. And I did that. And she was like, wow. I said, I didn't slap you yet. She said, okay, come on, slap me. So I did, really lightly. For me, I would have gauged it about a 2 on a scale of 1 to 10. She was like, ow, wow, that hurt. I said, okay, how would you gauge that? She said, that was a 10.
Uh-huh.
And so I had slapped someone else's face earlier, and I said to him, okay, if I had slapped you like that, how do you think you might have gauged that? He said, oh, like a 2. I said, okay, this is fantastic. This is exactly what we want to see. So you can't judge your own strength by what you think the other person needs and wants. And it's a really good idea to literally say to someone on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you mark that? What would you give that? This does not have to be tedious. This can be sexy and fun. I'm going to slap your face. I'm going to say, tell me what number that is. And you're going to say for what? For thank you. There we go. So you can make it as hot and as sexy as you need to make it, but that's how you can weave safety in at the same time.
One of the things that your piece does really well is it gives permission to the reader, to people who might be interested in this, to go deep into these fantasies, which are not what I would consider kink 101. This is not, hey, do you maybe want to put a blindfold on me? This can be really rough, heavy physical play and psychological. So I'm wondering, when you first started having fantasies like this that involved slapping or choking or spitting or even punching. I've seen you punch people, Felice.
You have. You will again.
I will again. Okay, good. Right. I mean, how did you come to fully embrace your own sexual fantasies that were rough? Because they are, in fact, pretty taboo.
Yeah, they're really taboo for a lot of us, especially watching a woman dole out this kind of stuff to other female-bodied people. It's a trip. People get like, oh, is this okay? And then the flip side, the inverse of that is true. Watching men or male-identified people give this to female-identified people is also very, very controversial. And I think part of it was being with a lover and then feeling her do, like, kneel on my arms and go, oh, I like that. I wasn't always the most, I'm visualizing this and now I want to enact it. Sometimes it was an activity would happen and then I'd be like, oh, I want more of that. So there's not one concrete way to figure out what you want. It's sometimes it really does happen first and then you're like, oh, yes, please, more of that.
But did you have the internal dialogue, which is, oh my God, that's really screwed up.
Yeah.
I shouldn't want that person to step harder on my arm.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely struggled with that, especially as a feminist. I was like, this isn't all right. This is absolutely wrong. I can't want someone to hit me because that's abuse. That's wrong. Consent. There wasn't even the language that we have, the immense, beautiful language that's out there now that's more readily available to a lot of populations, but not all. So no, it was a struggle for me. And it sometimes continues to be, because as my desires morph, I get more and more twisted. And I appreciate that a lot. And it's really scary. I play with mommy boy stuff, and that's a trip sometimes. And it's like coming out as interested in that to a lover. That's deep.
But is the mommy, here's my question for you, because absolutely the mommy is taboo, and it's super taboo in especially queer communities, I've found, and I've written about this. But is your mommy rough, or is that a different piece of your kink?
She can be.
Okay, so your mommy can be
sure
rough.
I mean, I have a whole host of personalities within me. I am not talking about anything that the DSM needs to worry about, but okay. but let's not pull the cord off the table. But they all share the same thing that I really believe in rough sex, which is, for me, I want to push someone or myself as far as they can go, further. I want you to get so high, so happy, so endorphined, so charged up, and feel absolutely amazing about yourself in the end. That doesn't mean I'm going to say, you're so good, you're so fantastic. But really, at some point, it might hurt, but you're going to feel proud of yourself how far. And so every persona that I have pushes hard, pushes really hard, and says, you can do this. Give me more.
Okay, that raises a lot of other questions, but we have to take another break. If you're getting super turned on by this, how can you not be? Or if you're into kink, or if you want to pick up the book, there is a place you can go. And that place is also a sponsor of this show and makes it possible. The Smitten Kitten.
Yay.
The Smitten Kitten is a progressive sex toy store for everyone. Visit them at smittenkittenonline.com. Use the coupon code Tristan for 20% off your entire order, including everything kinky you ever wanted. They have a fabulous selection. So let's take another break. And when we come back, we'll talk more about rough sex with Felice Shays.
Yay.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from the Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans, just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We are talking today with BDSM and sex educator Felice Shays, and we're taping this episode in front of a live studio audience at CatalystCon. You can read about this event at catalystcon.com, but it means we've got warm bodies in this room with us, and they've got questions.
They're warm.
Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
Okay.
Heather from Chantilly, Virginia. So I actually heard that you touched briefly on the whole feminist porn. And I just wanted to know, how does rough sex relate to feminist porn?
So we just came from a session where I was on a panel with Constance Penley, Mireille Miller Young, Dylan Ryan, and Cinnamon Love. And we were talking about feminist porn. And so this is interesting because there are some overlaps here around rough sex and feminist porn. And I want to say that the general discourse is that rough sex is sort of held up as the model of what's wrong with porn today, what's wrong with mainstream porn. So the anti-porn feminists are like, look at this. This man is dominating this woman. This man is slapping this woman. Look at this horrible, you know, look at this horrible stuff. So rough sex is sort of demonized as, of course, one category, which it's not, and as ultimately anti-feminist, it can't possibly be feminist. What do you think about that?
I loved the panel that you just moderated. It was amazing, and thank you for your question. One of the things that I found when I was listening was that rough sex, for me and how I understand it, is about consent, figuring out what it is you want, and going for it to the best of your ability. That's how I feel as a feminist, we get to bring to all the things that we bring to a feminist analysis. So feminist porn is about figuring out our own desire and having ethics behind it and moving forward to that and to bring people hot, amazing sex. And one of the things that I liked that someone spoke about was about being active in sex. And not just being a recipient, not being passive. And that's how I feel about rough sex. I feel that rough sex is about each person being very active and aware and communicating. And that's what makes it consensual. That if there's one person who's just receiving and not saying anything that she or he needs, it's not going to happen. It's not rough sex. I mean, it's rough sex, but it's not, in my mind, successful rough sex. And that doesn't mean success means someone comes, there's never a miss. That's nothing what I mean by success. I mean, people are getting off, people feel honored, people feel respected. And you can be walked on, you can be humiliated, if that's what gets you off and turns you on, as long as the underlying thing is about respect.
I mean, I totally agree with you. This is why I did my Rough Sex series. I really felt like, what would happen if we took this image of dominance and submission and of rough play and produced it in a way that was entirely consensual? The consent was explicit. Mm-hmm. And is that just by definition going to still be anti-feminist or anti-woman? And my answer to that is no, it's not.
Well, it's about agency, right? It's about we saying, hey, this is what I want. And I encourage everybody to look at what they want. Look at the kind of sex that they want. And does it come from a messed up place? Because anything can come from a messed up place. How you drive your car can come from a place of rage and can come from a place of you grew up with, you know, a caregiver driving like crap. And that's how you understand the world, as being on the defensive and on the fuck you and on the offensive. So I think we can translate anything that we do into our sex. And I also think that's where we can find self-reclamation. That's where we can find agency. Pleasure, that's radical. That's really radical. And it's one of the reasons why I think about rough sex as brutal affection, because affection cannot be separated out for me, ultimately. It might be intense. And I think that there's a big difference. One of the things I teach a lot about is intensity versus speed. I think a lot of us think about rough sex as fucking really hard and being a fucking machine and like, you're going to have to do that. That's who you are. And that doesn't have to always happen. It can be slow and intense, and that's still considered rough sex.
Now, what would you say to people who say, oh my God, how is it that you're combining punching and pleasure? What is it about being punched or punching someone that gives you pleasure?
Well, there's like 4 bazillion of us to ask that question to. That's where I want to start it from. We're not talking about going to like Gold's Gym and punching someone in the face or being in a bar brawl. That you might get off on, but that's not what we're talking about at all. We're talking about someone who's like, oh, I know where I can punch you. You're going to have a large, muscly, meaty mass. And I'm not going to punch you like out of nowhere. And I'm going to build you up so that it actually feels hot and it actually feels sexy. And it's not for everyone, but it is for a lot of people. And some people are like, I get off on this because I want to feel you being mighty, you being really strong and feeling you run the show. That's hot. I want to not have to deal with these things. So punching, I'm talking about chest, back, meaty thighs, ass. These are places where people do spanking and punching and receive those things because it puts them back in their flesh in a way that other things might not.
Okay. Do we have another question?
Hi, I'm Roxy from Cleveland.
Hi.
I guess I don't really have it framed so much as a question, but more as an observation that I'd like your thoughts on. It seems the term rough sex from, I guess, more the vanilla side of things. I heard about rough sex before I ever heard about BDSM. So, you know, you think of that. Is it a bridge into BDSM? And then also from people who are involved in BDSM, sex, especially at play parties and other groupings like that, can be taboo. So that term, approaching both ways, bridging the gap is... I don't have a question. So just,
no, it's amazing. Yeah. I mean, no, it's, no, you no, have I'm like kidding. 7 yeah. questions. Yeah, yeah. It's fantastic. It's juicy. Yeah, it's really juicy.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
God, good. These are smart people.
I know.
Good choice.
It raises a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it brings up like 17 different questions. The first thing I want to talk about is one of the things I do is I have a Google alert for rough sex. So that means, yeah. So anytime rough sex is mentioned, I get it sent to my email. And what I love about this is I'm finding what non-BDSM people are talking about with rough sex. People like, I won't say my sister because, you know, she might be listening and I don't know. Well, I know some of what, but the point is that what average people, my dental hygienist who did read 50 Shades of Grey, like what these people are doing in bed, they're not going to sex conferences. They're not reading our books. They're not, but they're fucking. And they're having sex and they're throwing each other around and they're figuring it out and they're choking each other on their dicks and they're slapping each other's faces and they're having rough sex and they're wanting rough sex.
Now, there's a lot of problems out there also. And so when you talk about the vanilla world, and there's always issues with that term vanilla, but so let's say the non-BDSM world, the non-kink world, that large umbrella, I think that there are a lot of people who doesn't lead to BDSM. I think that there's a big, they each can have an umbrella. The umbrella term could be rough sex and include BDSM. And the umbrella could be BDSM and include rough sex. And there's a lot of public venues in the BDSM world that don't want to see penetration. And they consider penis to vagina penetration. But a dildo might be okay. So the sexism and the anti-queer stuff that goes on in these kind of venues can sometimes be really problematic. And it's getting better.
I do think it's getting better. I just want to say that there was a time when I first came into BDSM where I would go to these play parties or these dungeons or these events, and it would be like 12 scenes are happening mm-hmm. at different stations, and it's like one flogging after another. And then there's a caning thrown in. Oh, look, that person's in bondage. People are naked. They're obviously like getting off on this, but no sex.
No sex.
No sex at all. I mean, no even genital massage, no external touching, no vibrators, no fingers, nothing.
It was very weird.
It was weird. And so now I feel like that's changing. There's a shift there.
Yeah.
But I think it also, your question speaks to this issue of pain for pain's sake versus pain that is making you wet and hard and hot. Like, is it always a component, a sexual thing for you, Felice?
It is sex. Slapping for me is sex. It's sexual. It's the sex and the power are completely inseparable. Playing with that power, receiving it. And I switch. So I give it and I receive it. And I don't do that with every partner because we define things differently. And yet, no. And SM for me, if I'm flogging someone or if I'm punching someone because we've decided this is what we're doing, or I'm using a spring-loaded blackjack or having a knife down their throat or something, this is, I don't always necessarily fuck. It depends who I'm playing with. So, no, there's not always sex involved in SM for me, but my rough play actions are always sexual. I don't know if that made sense.
No, I get it. I totally get it. Yeah. So when you say, the first time you said there's not always sex, you mean there's not always genital touching, genital contact, and orgasm, but there is always this electric, erotic energy.
If I'm slapping someone's face, I'm actually caring about them a huge amount. I'm caring about where my hand lands on their face, and it's emotionally connected. Rough sex for me is deeply emotionally connected. That's me. There are a lot of people who are interested in like throwing someone against a wall, ripping down their skirt and shoving something in a hole. I like that a lot. I support that a great deal. But I also know that there are times when it's not an emotional act for people and other times when it is. And it depends on the people involved, how many people. I mean, there can be consensual gangbangs where people are invited. It's like, hey, I'm lining this up for my lover. He really wants to get fucked every which way from Sunday. You want to come by? And blindfolded and punched and just used. And one of the things I love about rough sex is objectification. And
okay, you have to hold that thought.
Great.
Because that's a big one.
Yeah.
But we've got to take another break.
Great.
And we've been talking a lot about sex, and I want to give my listeners a little tip, which is from one of my other sponsors, and that is WeVibe. WeVibe makes the world's best-selling couples vibrator, and they make a lot of other vibrators and great toys as well. So check them out at we-vibe.com, and we will continue this discussion. We're going to get into, apparently, objectification. So more Sex Out Loud after this short break.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe. Share the pleasure.
Hello, Sex Out Loud listeners. This is Jennifer from the Smitten Kitten. Did you know that you can get 20% off your entire purchase at smittenkittenonline.com? All you have to do to get your discount is use the coupon code Tristan. That's T-R-I-S-T-A-N. That means you can get 20% off all Enjoy surgical steel toys, 20% off all Vixen Creation silicone toys, including Tristan's signature butt plugs, and you can also get all of Tristan's DVDs, the entire Vivid Ed series she did, and the Chemistry series for 20% off. Too. Sex Out Loud listeners can get 20% off of everything at smittenkittenonline.com. Smitten Kitten specializes in high-quality sex toys and supplies. We're well-known for having an amazing selection of toys made of silicone and other body-safe materials. Shopping on our website is easy. You can chat online with a Smitten Kitten sex educator, or you can call us anytime at 888-751-0523. Everything is 20% off at smittenkittenonline.com when you use coupon code Tristan at the checkout.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We're talking today with Felice Shays, a sexuality and BDSM educator. We've been talking a lot about rough sex and BDSM, and we're taping in front of a live studio audience at Catalyst Con, a fantastic sexuality conference. We've got another question from an audience member.
Hi, I'm Victoria from DC, and I am a gay woman who really only enjoy sex if there's some element of rough play in it. And as a lesbian, I have a hard time finding partners who are comfortable doling it out. Do you have any sort of advice for how to negotiate that in relationships?
Yes, and you're not alone. There are so many people, and it's not just about the queers or the gays or the lesbians. There are so many people who are like, he won't hit me. She won't tell me to crawl. It's, yeah, you're in really good company. Oh, how do you start?
I think this applies to a lot of people.
Yeah.
It applies to, first of all, finding partners, or what if you already have a partner?
Yeah.
You've just gotten in touch with this desire, and now you've got to bring it up.
Right. Generally, one of the things I suggest is when you're doing something with someone, let's say you're making out with someone, you can actually rough up that particular activity. So one of the ways I suggest roughing up kissing, let's say, is if you're kissing your partner, and let's say you want to did you say you want to give or receive? You want to receive. You can say, hold my head while you kiss me. Please don't let my head move. I mean, simple little things like that to take something that you're already doing and amp up a little bit of power. And also, it's fantastic if you have a sense of what it is you want to be doing, you want to receive, but not have such a specific scripted idea of that, that it excludes your partner. So, and then there's ways where you can be like, hey, honey, do you want to read this thing? I find this hot. Now, finding a partner is tough. Finding a partner who you want to be able to play with and go the distance. But there are a lot more of us out there who are a little bit perverted or a lot of bit kinky than we know. And everyone's definition is really different. And so I remember one time I was with someone and I was like, pinch my nipple. Harder. 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 And he was like, harder? And I realized what was going on. It wasn't the intensity of him pinching my nipple. It was the fact that it wasn't organically created by him. It didn't come to him to say, this is what I want to do. So I understand that frustration, but there are ways to put your body in someone's way that can, I mean, I once read something that this woman said, sometimes I just slap my boyfriend so he'll rough me up. I'm not sure that I recommend that. And yet, I really get it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a fantastic question, because it's also about, again, asking for what we want.
Let's do a whole show about that.
About asking for what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that I'm interested in is, I do think that there has been a rise in rough sex. I feel like more people are talking about it, more people are doing it, more people are fantasizing about it. We're certainly seeing more of it in mainstream porn. And so what, as someone who is an educator primarily, you want people to do this stuff safely. What are critical things that people should know before doing it?
The term rough sex is actually still considered taboo. And publishing my book is really becoming an interesting challenge for me, because there are people who don't want the term rough sex. They don't want it on their, that kink is much more accepted. Kinky is much more accepted. The term rough sex, people really struggle with. And that's changing. And I dig that it's changing. And I love that it's changing. And I think part of it is that within rough sex, there actually are some real dangers. And one of the dangers is you can end up hurt people. Because I get these alerts, I read a lot of news stories about people saying, I didn't mean to kill her. I was strangling her and then she died during rough sex. Well, you know, that can happen. We know that playing with restricting someone's breath is dangerous. It can lead, people can have heart attacks. I hate listing the dangers of rough sex sometimes, because I think that can be where people sit and land and stay. But I do know that we do have to take precautions. You can get bruised cervix from fucking really hard and really deep. One of the things to know is every time something doesn't feel good in a bad way, to be able to say, oh, wait a second, and move a leg. You can have blood circulation cut off from bounds being too tight, from people using silk scarves or, hello, 50 Shades of Grey, silk ties. It's really problematic. And people read things and look at certain porn and extrapolate and make it their own, but they don't know what they're doing. And they're just like, this is what looks good. How I think people can go differently about that is do a little bit and come back. And there's this whole thing about choking to blackout that a lot of kids have been doing also, that has been really problematic. And people do self-asphyxiation. There's a lot of things that have to do with rough sex that have nothing to do with going at a pace that you're not going to actually die or that you can back up from. So yeah, I was once playing with someone and I need him. Between, was kneeing him on his ass, and my knee slipped and I hit his coccyx bone, and he had to go to the chiropractor, and we both felt really, really bad about it. And, you know, it's tricky stuff.
It's tricky stuff, but I think the way in which that you approach it, and that's what I love so much about this piece in the book, is that you really encourage people to kind of ease their way into it and build to this kind of crescendo rather than starting kind of at like a level 10.
And again, the level 10 for someone might be radically different than someone. I remember I once went on a date with someone we both know, and he came into my apartment and he was the top theoretically. And I just whispered it to Tristan.
Oh, I know who it was.
Uh-huh. And I pushed him against the wall and kissed him really hard. Totally threw him. I didn't know how much of a switch I was at the time. And he certainly didn't know how much of a switch he was at the time. But I think that was really provocative. That for us was rough sex. And it might be someone else pushing someone else against the wall, might be a walk in the park, and what they do just to say hello in the morning and here's your toast, I pushed you against the wall, you know? So I do want people to go to the furthest degree that they want to go, but to stay conscious and to keep paying attention. If I'm saying no, that probably means no, unless we've set it up somewhere else. And there's a ton of people who include fantasy rape in their play and in their sex, and we're
or
no,
who include dialogue that includes no,
yes,
resisting, yes, being taken, being used, and they want to use the word no, so they pick a safe word that's a totally different word.
Absolutely, exactly. And that's paying attention. That's communication. And so if I say, ow, 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 please stop, that probably means, ow, 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 please stop. You know, so slow down a second and back it up. Change, move a leg. Move your ass. Pull out one finger. That dick is too big. You know, just use more lube. Use more lube. Use more lube.
You're a girl after my own heart. I mean, I give that advice out on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on Sex Out Loud, Felice. And thank you to our amazing studio audience.
Hooray. Thank you, Tristan, so much for having me. This was really, really fun and exciting. Thank you.
Providing sexual and BDSM education and counseling for a dozen years in the U.S. and Canada to thousands of people, Felice Shays is currently working on her new book, Brutal Affection, The Joy of Rough Sex. You can find her at brutalaffection.com or follow her on Twitter at Felice Shays. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. I want to thank everyone who makes the show possible, including executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, who's running the board today, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. If you missed any part of the show or want to hear it again, you can listen on demand or download the MP3 by going to voiceamerica.com and searching for Sex Out Loud. You can also subscribe to it as a podcast on iTunes. Tune in next Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern for another episode of Sex Out Loud. And until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio, and in your own life. Take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by The Smitten Kitten, non-toxic quality sex toys and supplies. Visit smittenkittenonline.com.